The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, good evening. Let me get to the point about common sense, which is very uncommon, and which I will show you what I mean by this in just a little bit. If you have anxiety and fears and doubts and sicknesses and diseases, common sense is not being used. Common sense is very rare. And if you look for common sense in your doctor, good luck. You may find one, and that's rare. If you want to look good for a good car specialist to fix your car, if you find a good one, good luck. So I am to talk about common sense and how you should live from it. But I have to have the common sense to share with you. It has to come from a good place. It has to come from a good place when you speak to your children, when you speak to your husband, when you talk to your wife. There's got to be something that is not of this world. And that is what I wanted to show you now. Common sense, and I want to read a little bit to you, if you don't mind. I wrote this in 1962. Should tell you that a life of meaning and happiness is dependent on making right choices. But being able to make the right choice requires that we become an objective attitude, means an attitude that sees further than the eyeballs. A conscious awareness that's perched on the above the confusing whirlpool of thoughts and feelings within each one of us. This attitude amounts to a truly positive attitude and enables us to separate from something powerfully destructive within us, but poorly understood most, namely by resentment. If you have that any problem at all and you have resentment towards yourself or anybody else that has been unfair to you and cruel and unjust, if you have resentment, whatever's wrong with you will grow. Negative. Resentment is the mysterious catalyst that mingles any hurt we may happen to experience with the infection of hate, which taints the true love with the poison of lust. It is the extra ingredient that, when added to a normal experience and emotion, turns it toxic. That's what I said in the first hour today. Surely, you can dislike chocolate ice cream without hating it. Most people do not know how to like or dislike anything without emotionally engaging themselves in the love-hate object. The reason for this imbalance, once again, is resentment. It feeds on it. Something we all take for granted as a normal emotion. It's not. But not only is it not normal, a closer look at resentment will reveal that it's not really an emotion at all. It's energy. It is stress energy. It's the energy that animals function from and dehumanizes us because we have it. But we often think that emotion, the energy that motivates, is human. It is immoral. So you say to yourself, this man doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't need to be angry to function. Why do you? I don't need something whoopee to make me happy. I am happy. I'm happy not to have a whoopee to make me happy. And I'm happy that I don't get angry to be happy or make somebody miserable, which makes me happy. These are strange things. I put the strangeness in it as I'm speaking. The anomaly. So it's energy. In fact, resentment is the life breath of the life of pride. It's all about us. We do things for people because we want something back. We don't do anything for people because we love them. But even if you do things for people because you think you love them, and they give you a applause and give you a, they give you a nice compliment, if it lifts you up, that's something you've been looking for when you shouldn't. Somebody puts a good feeling into you.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
I was saying, Lisa, hello, everybody. I was just saying, because our program has already been running, then you've missed the first 5 or 6 minutes. And here's the music, and it's going to go, wait a minute. We don't need that music now, thank you. The reason for our imbalances and our mistakes we make is rooted in an energy motivation called resentment. Resentment comes, I think it comes from resenter, I'm not sure, but it means to feel again, think again. So if you have an accident and you get resentful, instead of saying, uh-oh, has it got a bad fender? Yes. But if you get resentful, you may not notice it, but when you get home, it repeats itself over and over again. So it may be when you're handing your driver's license to the policeman, you're just in a state of irritation. You ever notice it? You're shocked. But you bring that shock via resentment. So when you go to your house, and when you try to go to sleep, it repeats itself again. And now it's becoming, reacting to the shock that isn't there. And that upsets you, and you can't sleep. And then you get angry because you can't sleep. And you get resentful to the fact that you can't sleep. And then you have a headache. And it goes on all night. It's to resentare means to feel again. To think again. Over and over and over, and you're feeding your problem with resentment. See? And you're feeding it. And there's more to it than this is. Not only is it not normal, as I said in just a minute, if you're just listening to my program, you heard me say the same things, but I'm just putting another sense of seeing it. Not only is it not normal, a closer look of resentment will reveal quickly that it's not really an emotion at all. See, the emotion, your emotion is energy, like an animal. So somebody yells at you, screams at you, and looks down their nose at you, whatever it is, whatever injustice you had to suffer, is they're putting themselves in you. And so I said yesterday, I have a grandson who said, Grandpa, I just realized something. He's 21. I have a girlfriend. I find myself talking to the girlfriend like my father talks to me, and I resent my father. And it's been going over and over and over and over. That father's a very clever person, but he's very impatient. He's very willful. But he's not a bad guy. He just thinks he doesn't see that he's doing this because it was done to him. But he's a good guy, really. He is decent. But that doesn't make him decent. It makes him, that whatever that is, impatience, being upset, is an energy that flows from one person to another, so that the feeling that the person has becomes your feeling, and therefore you become that person. And he sees this. This is a 21-year-old kid. So now I see it. I say, apologize to my girlfriend. And she was getting clamped up a little bit. She said, I see it now. My father's in me. But I understand my father also had a father, and so on and so forth. Well, it isn't always exactly the same, but the point is made. So the resentment keeps it alive. It's the life breath of the life of pride. You don't like to admit you're wrong, because then when you're standing up for yourself, and you got your girlfriend, like my grandson said about his girlfriend, he says she began to cringe, and he began to get sort of a feeling from it, and project to her, so that she fights back, and then gives in, and then there's the big problem. If she gives in, she emboldens the way what you learn from your father. See that? So these are the things that fly by night, so to speak. These are the things you need to watch. Watch for resentment. See? Resentment is the life breath of pride. As such, it causes a corruption of all of our emotional sentiments, spiritually natural, not natural like animals, which live off that energy. It motivates them. It's run, fight. That's it. But if we respond to pressure with the energy that somebody else has, and he represents that same energy in the long line of family, from one man's sin and death through sin spread through human race like a pandemic that is going from father to son in this case. So it will extend. And when you extend that to another person, you violate their spirit and you violate their innocence. And they take on you or fight you back. And get they even with you. And that's what destroys families, etc., etc. And gives you sickness, and many people die from it because one begins to win over the other. Especially if the mother, the wife, has the control and has learned to be a bully, like the husband were. And they change their roles now, and he becomes a wimp. Then he dies as a wimp. And there's lots of illnesses that makes you just fade away, give you a heart attack, things like that. I saw my aunt. I never forget this. My aunt was such a wicked woman. But her husband, his name was Barney, my Uncle Barn. And he was a decent guy, but he didn't know how to deal with his wife. He just gave in, and she just enjoys every minute of it. She ended up all by herself, and none of the kids came back. None of them. She died on her own. But he died from a double ulcers. And I saw it. I didn't know. So I said, how could she do this? I just watched it as a kid. He died from it. You can kill people that way. You can die from it yourself, from guilt. You could try to be... I don't want to go into this because it's too much. But what I'm trying to say here is we are living in a world right now in America that is not familiar to me anymore. And now we've got a family, like husband and wife. We got on one side, we got the left, the cruel ones. On the right, we got the decent ones, or halfway decent, but not decent or strong enough to deal with the really rotten ones, who get lots of help from their creators. In this case, Soros and, the president, he reinforces them, encourages them. He rewards them for wickedness. And that's true because, you see, if you look very carefully, the tendency is that once you have responded, you enter a realm that mentioned by Jesus. Let me see what it was. No, it's not the call. I just want to say this, right? I'm marching there. I want to finish this thought because it just jumped out of my head. He said, "Oh yes, you cannot worship two masters. You obey or resent or react to. Pick which one you want. Pick which one you want. React to the person who uses stress on you, who stresses you with cruelty." And then you tend to take on the identity of that person and lose your relationship with God and the innocence in our relationship with him is now transformed to that which has recreated you in its image. And so the identity in you needs the love, the approval of the bully that robbed you of your relationship with God and put something else of him, so he's recreating himself, and that recreated self looks to the bully for more reassurance that he is a whole person or becoming a whole person. But you have to give your life to that. So let me go off. We're going to talk to a caller right now. We'll come back to our pledge drive. Please bear with me. I have to do this pledge drive. We need your help. And call 800-500-0922. Please just do this, 800-500, for the rest of this week through Sunday, 800-500-0922. Or go to our website, fhu.com, and click on donate, and I've got something else to say later on, and I'll take my call. Martha in New Mexico. Hello, Martha. How are you doing?
I'm good, Roy. I have two questions. The first one is, what really is the meaning of the cross? And the second one is, Christians have laid a guilt trip on me saying, Jesus died for your sins. And mm-hmm. I feel like Jesus died because he tried to show everyone how to connect to God and be free, and so they killed him.
Yes, well, you got it roughly, yes. But you don't have it succinctly, but still, you're right. So you want to know the meaning of the cross?
Yes, but actually both of those, yes.
Well, I think it goes go both together. I do exorcisms. You know what an exorcism is, don't you?
Yes.
I'm a Christian.
That.
I'm a Jewish person, but I love you, Jesus, so I didn't have to change my religion, so I love him, and I see he is the Savior that was promised to Israel. I got that. And so, but I don't carry a Christian symbol on me. I don't talk about that. I am like him. I have him inside me, and that's important. But when I do, the only time I use a cross, I don't worship a cross. I don't like, when I go to a church, if I visit a church and see a statue of Jesus on a cross, I felt I've offended, because it says you should not have a graven image, and neither should you bow down and worship it. And I think to myself when I go into a church like that, which I don't anymore, I say, oh my God, they're violating the commandments even. They're not even listening to Jesus who's hanging on the cross. Don't make any graven image. And they made a graven image of him. What an insult. And you don't see it, because it tends to, once you start to fondle that cross and pray to it, it becomes a hypnotic state. And you're worshipping marble, whatever the hell it is. And so this is not healthy stuff. And so the only time I use a cross is, I'll give you a very good idea, a very good concept. Ready? Okay. There's noise in the background, David. Oh, I see. All right, she's a heavy breather. Okay, yes. Okay, thank you. That's all right. I'm not disturbed by it. I just want to help people understand my work. Whenever I do an exorcism, I have a cross handy. I could put my fingers together and shape the cross if I didn't have a piece of wood. But it's not the wood that does it. It is post-traumatic stress disorder. To put it simple, it's the thing inside a human being that has the identity of the is holding fast to the identity of the person whose soul is captured, is released by the fact that you remind them they have been defeated. If you've ever been defeated and broken, you have reactions connected to that. Okay, don't go away with me. Yes, look, would you ask Martha to hold the line for a minute? I just have to remind you this is a pledge drive, please. If you give $25 a month, I like this. I didn't like the idea of giving something back when people give something to the foundation. But they convinced me that it's sensible, because if I give a sensible gift, like a meditation exercise for $25 a month, or $50 a month, 7-minute exercise in Pearls of Great Price, which is a collection of the best calls that will fit on a CD. And you can download it too if you want to. I don't know how we go about this, because that's not my department. And $100 a month is the 7-minute exercise, Pearls of Great Price, the best calls in my whole 50 years. And we have 80 of those. So you might want to get an hour's worth of just the best ones, because we don't have the best ones every day. I just get what I can, because there aren't too many bright stars out there. There's not intelligence. A lot of bright people coming to say, I understand this. And these were the best of them, and you could hear them understanding it. It's an education to listen to it. So I think just an excuse here to send you a 7-minute, $100 a month, 7-minute exercise, Pearls of Great Price, CDs, the best calls. But Common Sense Christianity is something I did, very beautiful thing 30 years ago when I was younger and more fluid. And it's Common Sense Christianity, Volume 1. There's four others. You might want to get those and buy them. Okay? So that's it. And if you would just call 800-500-0922. It's 800-500-0922. And there's a very nice call center there. Very, very nice. They answer Foundation of Human Understanding, and then you give a donation, please, because summer's going to be very dangerous and I need to be here. If I don't have the money, I need more than usual, because I need to reach more people to cool their jets. I'm not an instigator. I know how to stop the enemy in his tracks. I have studied this my whole life. I understand how it works. I need to talk to people that are just about to kill you. And they can hear the program and may you wake up. Not by one at a time, but hundreds of thousands we need that, because that's what's against you. You need to deal with this. You're not used to dealing with trials and tribulation. You've got stuff. You've got drugs, alcohol. You've got all kinds of things to deal with your problems. But when you're face to face with people that are going to burn your country down, it's a big difference. See? All right. Sorry about that. Oh, we're going to continue now. What's the number? Okay, but are you there, Martha? I'm sorry about that. Yes. So where was I? What was the last thing I said to you? You forgot.
I don't remember.
Oh, no, I don't remember either.
Of the cross.
Oh, yes, the cross. Yes, the cross. Because, you see, the cross is a symbol of the defeat of evil. That is it. The cross is only two pieces of wood. It depends on who holds the cross. And so you can have ersatz. You can have actually hypnotic states where the preachers yell and scream and produce hypnotic states and give them the illusion that they're being saved. But it doesn't. I deal with exorcism. I literally help. I know how to do it. I have the power. I have the gift of it. And I know that I don't have to have the cross, but the person, the dark side in that individual, cringes. You remind it. It's like a post-traumatic stress disorder to you. When you can't help but drink and drug and do this because it shocks you into existence. And I have a very interesting way of saying this. A lady who's been working for me for 14 years, and she's become a beautiful woman, and from a very dangerous person to herself. So one day, she's delivering me something. She does a little bit of work, volunteers now. She's retired. And I said to her, when she left, she opened the door and she walked out. I said, take care. And then she said, what did you say? I said, take care. He says, that's the root of my problem. My mother, I remember, she's angry, hostile, cruel. And then when I walk out the door, she says, take care. And said, I'll take care. Something came inside. I'll take care. I'm going to walk on a precipice. I don't care if I stand upside down, etc. In other words, her whole life was based on that word, take care. And I uttered it. And when other people said it, she was immediately reprogrammed to her lifestyle for her whole life. And she didn't know that take care was doing it. It just triggered it. So the cross does the same thing. It really does take care, in a sense. It reminds the dark side of its failure. It failed. Jesus caused it to fail. And that is where the cross comes in and is beautiful. Okay?
Okay, I don't understand that because Jesus died on the cross. It seems like evil.
He didn't. He came to life.
The resurrection.
Yes, we're talking about he gave his whole life. He had to give everything to God. Everything, like we have to give everything. We have to give everything all the way to our death. And somebody puts a gun to your head and says, you know, give up Jesus. The answer is no. Bang. That is what he needs. See? Because then you have eternal life. This is just a body. It's a frail body in which we live. And we get older. And we get what? But while we're living, if we live a good life and always obeying what we know is right in our hearts and standing up for what's right, so we don't never get hurt by the hurter. We overcome the hurter. We hold our ground. There comes a time in our life when we have to leave. And what kind of spirit has grown up inside us? What kind of spirit? Is it a dark side spirit? Just a mush of nothing? If you take a piece of skin from a person who has cancer, and you put it in a dish with some nutrients, it will keep growing and growing until it weighs a ton, and then some. The skin never dies, but it doesn't take any shape. It is sort of like, that's what it is. It's like cancer is dying. Because life force is being sucked away by the identity of the creature inside. And when you have identity crisis and you hold up the cross with a proper authority, it who holds it is not the cross itself, it's who holds it makes it magic. Be right back. Okay, here we are again, happy as can be. We continue with Martha. Did I explain it appropriately enough?
Well, perhaps I lack the understanding. So Jesus died for God. He didn't die for our sins.
No, he lived for God. He didn't die for God. He lived until he did what he did as much as he could do, and he paid for it with his life. And that's what you need to do. And I've lived a good life. I've had a lot of suffering, but I knew how to suffer. I don't hate the suffering. I don't hate the hurter. What happens is, if you have hate and you have what you call love, which isn't, it's a feeling of that makes you feel good. You see, lots of things, if anything makes you feel good, you're taking on the identity of that which is giving you that feeling, and which you are working for that feeling. You must not do good to get back good, feeling good. In other words, you don't want to be a person like Shakespeare, all the world's a stage. So you don't have to pretend to be a Christian and be loved for it and be praised for it, because that will give you a sense of worth, and then you'll die from it. You have to give what's been given you. So if I've been on the radio for 55 years doing the same thing every day over and over again and loving every minute of it, because the more I give, the more love I give that's given to me to give, the more love I've got to give. It never ends. And when I lay down my flesh, I will find myself the spirit that has been growing inside me that didn't die. It has a form. And this form lasts forever in another dimension. Because you have a dimension outside the universe, in case you didn't know. There's the void outside the universe. You can't see it because the universe is so vast. It's evolving into the void. It never stops. If it wasn't for the void that was endless, you couldn't have a universe, because gravity needs extension forever. Because if it comes to an end of the void, it's the end of the universe. It has to have a constant. It must flow forever and ever, and it has to have the void, the space, to keep on flowing. From the origin, from the singularity that began the universe from the very beginning. And I'm speaking to you in physics now, which most physicists do not understand the origin of the universe.
Yeah.
And gravity is the root of it. But the point is, I don't know if I've been losing her. I'm just trying to say that there's a spirit that is of the world, and then there's a spirit in the world. It's in the world, but you have to be not of it. You have to be of whatever it is that created the universe and created you in its image, and then be fulfilled by it. But you have the right not to for a while. You come into a void, you come into a culture, and the culture gets in you. And you have to overcome that culture. And you have to... Well, give Martha just a few minutes and have a little chat. Oh, she dropped. Well, the physics part of it was important because, in case you didn't know, I was trying to make a point that something lasts forever and ever, and the universe is expanding. And what is causing it to expand? Because I have to mention a little bit about this, and it's important because it goes to what I was trying to say in other terms, other than metaphysical and being on the cross and things like that. There's something, some kind of magician. There's the word, magician. I do magic tricks whenever I have an audience, which isn't often. And I do it so well, it looks like real magic. I have to scare kids, so I have to tell them it's not real. And it also scares big people because they admire the magic. But I come to think of it one day as the fact that there's a magician, he's called God. You can't see him, but his presence is represented by what we call the singularity, which is something infinitely hot. Science, just they know it's there, but they haven't seen it. They know it's there. And the difference between the infinitely hot and the infinitely void. And so the one flows into the other forever. And between the two, the human race, or the universe is created. I won't go into details. If my book is off the, you can't get a copy of my book. I've taken it down. I have to rewrite some of it, add something to it. But what I'm trying to say is, God lives forever. He's created a being. Monkeys don't live forever. You see, they're not meant to. They don't have a right and a wrong. They don't live by faith. They live by anger, run, fright, stress. Now, we come into the world and we are faced by pressures and temptation. If you remember the story of Adam being thrown out of the garden, he's in a different realm now. Different, he saw he was naked. That's how he knew something has changed. He became part animal, mortal, and part him, God. And so we carry a conscience with us when we come into the world. And we come into the world innocent. You can't say a baby has done wrong. You can't. It's innocent. It has it. And if you look at it, listen to a little child, if you listen to that, when he gets 2 or 3 years old, he actually knows more, sees more, understands more, knows how to ask questions more than a 50-year-old or 100-year-old person, with some exceptions. And you think that's cute, the way he asks the questions. Well, curious, and then slowly but surely you see that he becomes a teenager and so on, and you see everything going the opposite way. He becomes narcissistic, etc., etc. And sooner or later, the agony of that will drive a person to drugs or alcohol, whatever it is, but none of that can help you. You need to search for that which you had when you came into the world, before the world got into you. When you came into the world got into you. And you take on, if you're Borneo, you'll be a cannibal. If you're Hitler Germany, you'll be a Nazi. But America has enough freedom so that you can be born into this world and make your mistakes, and begin to see your mistakes, and understand your mistakes, and find redemption, and then you can have the rest of your life arguing and standing up your ground, even within your own country, because you're beginning to deal with people who deal with the kind of people that made you what you are. Your mother and father is no different. They're the extension of their mother and father. But what you need to achieve is not to become like your mother and father who didn't bring you up right or spoiled you and made you rotten, etc. Whatever the reason is nearly all of you hate your parents and pretend not to. And there's another conversation we can have on that. And so what I'm trying to say is she still there, Martha? Is she gone? Okay, would you take that down so I don't have the memory of that. Okay, so just let me do, before I take my call, we have a pledge drive, see, and we only do this twice a year. We are going to do it if another year exists. This may be the last year of America if we're not careful. You've got to listen, please. It's pledge drive week. We need your help. If you please call 800-500-0922, 800-500-0922, or go to our website, FAQ.com, and click donate. That's one thing. And then here's another one here, if you don't mind. Just take a minute or two. This is why we're having a pledge drive. It funds us through the summer months, which are going to be very difficult for us, because all the money goes down the drain to the both parties, and they're both neither one of them are any good. Can't you see that? They're both broken. You're not going to have any answers. You're going to go down with both of them. You need to have a champion. I think you've got one. Anyway, the commercials you hear on your local station during my show do not pay our bills. They pay the local station's bills, which is a good thing. But you need to support us. That's why we're having a pledge drive. You're the sponsor. I don't look for sponsors other than you. Support me. It's guaranteed I can do it. See, I don't have to please anybody special. See, if you know what I mean. So we have a pledge drive this week, and it ends on Sunday, and so that my show can be fully funded and stay on the air during the trials and tribulations. $25 a month, please. $50 a month. $100. And then you have one-time gifts, $100, $500. You know, do I have to tell you? No, please don't. Call 800-500 and 0922. And one more thing. When they said, do this pledge drive, and then they said, give them a prize. I said, I don't like to give a prize. If they give something, why should I give? It doesn't sound right. He says, no. If you give them a seven-minute exercise, they can give it to somebody. If you give them the pearls of great price, which are beautiful, it's me 30 years ago when I had nothing to do. I sat in front of a microphone and began to speak. And each CD is an hour. So you get a Pearls of Great Price CD, best calls. And so I got it mixed up just a little bit. $100 a month or more is the seven-minute exercise, which you can get free anyway without giving any money. But Pearls of Great Price CD is the best of all the calls. And Common Sense Christianity Volume 1 is just me talking about a Christian principle for 1 hour. We have 5 CDs for that. So you may want to get the others. The Method of My Madness. No, but you see, then it's valuable then. I'm giving you value back. And then you may want to, once you've got that, you say, I need more of those. And you can save them. God knows what's going to happen to me. Disappear, things get burned down, who knows what happens. After my 5 years, what's going to happen in this war here? So you can just buy them and keep them. There's so much, you can't get it all. But if everybody took time to get a little piece of it, it can come together. Okay, so that's it. The number is 800-500-0922. Thank you so much. Now we go back to our caller. Ralph. Hello, Ralph in New York.
Hey, how you doing? This is Ralph.
Yes, and this is Roy.
I called to thank you, Roy, because I spoke to you in depth last night. I hope you remember.
I do my best. You sound wonderful. Yes, I do. I remember. It's the whole program around you, practically.
Yeah.
You sound wonderful. You don't sound like that.
And I really called to, because I shared it with some other people, some people I meditate with, another tradition, but I shared, and I got some more feedback, and, you know, I've got my work to do. I see that.
It's
not an instant thing.
Yeah,
but I know that I got some work to do, Roy.
I know, good. So I still got lots of work to do.
And I've seen it. You know, I actually took the glass. And of course, that addiction to this woman put its claws in me. You know, tried to all day.
I understand. You could let that go.
I kept meditating, and I'd do something else. I'd read. I got one of your books. And as someone else had told me, who had been through something very similar. This is a female, and she said, trudge the road to happy destiny. She says, you got to trudge. It's not, don't look for an instant, instantaneous, you know, it's just gone, you know.
I'm not quite sure. I don't care what she says. I'm just only caring what you say.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm realizing that it's work. And I got to continue to trudge.
You have to continue to be gracious to ladies and quietly, gently buff her approach to you to have a relationship with her. A bit like a father to a daughter. You have to be to the ladies like a father to daughter.
Say that again.
You have to be in your relationship going back to being a man and not a user of women, which is
very destructive
to both of you and to all of you listening to me. So as a man, you need to find your creator that pulls you free from her and gives her some, it may have effect on her because you feel you've been pulling away when she has you. But the thing in her is what has her and you. And so there'll be some squeaking and yelling. It could be, or it could be a relief for her, the one that you were having relationship with, to see you with the full stature of a noble quality so that you somehow convey to her, not tonight, Josephine, anymore, I apologize for being an animal and not a person that loves the good in you. That's the attitude, if I put it into words. And that's what you need when you look at women. And there's a little turn-on thing, and a little eye, and a little wiggle of the torso. You may feel a little pull. You may feel a little pull. Just watch the pull. It goes away.
Well, that's what I'm...
That's all there is to it. And then,
yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
Yes, and see, that's where you got caught up.
I just want you to understand the relationship has been over. I was just trying to get it back. We're not in a relationship.
Yes.
Anymore.
No, don't get it back that way. And when you apologize to her, if you're going to apologize to her, you apologize. And if she says, what a wonderful person, I hear you can have some more sex. Not tonight, Josephine. All right.
Thank you. I
just have a little time left. Is that all you have to say? That's good. I like
it.
Yeah,
I just wanted to thank you, really. Yes, thank you on the air.
I just remember this. I had a broken person on the air, and then I rattled and rattled and rattled, never stopped, and you kept listening and listening and listening and listening because you didn't know what to ask me, but you listened all the way through. Magic. Magic. God bless you. You give me a call anytime you want. I'll go on with my program now. You can call me back and say thank you again if you want to. I listen. I like to hear your progress. Thank you, Ralph. Okay, that's nice. Well, let me see. I've got just a little bit of time left. I have an article here. And I've been talking about, let me just come back to the end of the program and then I'm going to ask you again for support, if you don't mind. Let me see something about ice cream. You can dislike chocolate ice cream or without hating it, can't you? I want to speak about principle. And most people do not know how to like or dislike anything without emotionally entangling themselves with the feeling that it gives them. The love-hate object. See? So you've got to be very careful when you eat something good that you don't lose yourself in it. Say, oh, that's so wonderful. You've got to be very careful about anything giving you a feeling. Then you will say to me, what's the matter with you? Human beings have feelings. So do dogs. You got to be careful. The dog can have the feeling it likes you because you give something to it, and you're the master. It doesn't like you because you're the bad guy. I get it. So what I'm saying is, I hope I'm getting it correct. You can hear it. You are mortal. You are part spirit and part flesh, mortal. That mortal can be immoral, because dog doesn't have to have a morality. It's born with an instinct to be a sheepdog kind of thing. Every creature is like that. It has its peculiarities, which you like or dislike. And we are born with a proclivity to live in the world, be born into the world, and the world gets into us, and we have conflict. That does not mean to say that you are guilty of anything at that time. But guilt will come into you. A dark side will come into you. And the reason is because you're born of a woman, and the woman is your mother. And your mother has a husband, which is your father, that was born of a woman, and because he was born innocently, like all children, females too, but men are very important. It's very important for men to be men, because that's what women, real women, are looking for. Adam was the person who had a relationship with the Creator, which was equivalent to our constitution, equivalent but much more superior, endlessly superior to our constitution, is for the bad guys. Constitution is for the bad guys, not for good ones. But it's the constitution that keeps them at bay so that you're not bullied to death like in most countries. It gives you a sense of freedom. It gives you a chance to keep the enemies at bay, cruel, see, and put them in jail where they belong, etc., etc. There's a long story about that. So there's lots of injustices being, you know, working between each other. But you get the idea that we have constitution that punishes and keeps innocent, gives the possibility of innocence to take shape by our forefathers that gave their lives for that. So you're born into culture. This culture has lost its way, haven't you? And now you're paying the price for that, because millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people have become corrupt, and it's become a new normal. And there's a small percentage there is. I do hope it's a big percentage of you waking up. I'm not being able to wake up all the bad guys, but I am able to help you deal with the darkness of how wicked things can be. Farrakhan, evil man. And you know he is. He's clear about it. Obama, traitor, evil man. But he looks like a lover. They both represent evil. Both, yes. A seducer. He loves, he gives you love. He loves what's rotten with you. That's what it is. That's what a dope pusher rises up to give, loves what's rotten in you. And you welcome him rising from the South American jungle, rising to occasion of your need, and giving you a sense of worth that's worthless. And but no sooner the feeling has gone away, you need even more, because you got false salvation, the dark side, operating through those people, a whole system of it. You have systems of it, and that is politics. See, so politics is behind war. It's the reason for war. You just watch the politics and see how important it is to make us weak, to scare us into submission, etc., etc. And we have to understand we have to be innocent. And we can't have the new norm what we have right now. We need to get back to paradise lost. We need to get back to our virtues. And it's possible for every race and color and creed to have that normality. But you can't have it if you belong to this and you belong to that. Because if you belong to anything, it owns you. I don't want to own you. I want you to see this, what I've seen, for yourself. And I just want to show you what your feelings mean. So it really isn't your fault because you're born innocent. You just have been programmed to the world, and that's what gives you conflict. And your drugs and alcohol, legal or illegal, support the conflict. It's a dark side of medicine. It used to be lots of good things on the TV when we had TV in those days. Now you've got medicine. Every other commercial is medicine for some sickness you got. That's all you got. All kinds of remedies and pills and things like that. Lots of people saying that, well, how wonderful bad things are. You've got the new normal. I just better bypass it because I messed it up. I think I've said the point, but the time is almost, time disappears so quickly when I look up. I've only got 5 minutes left to finish my pledge drive. So, yes, it's 2.5 minutes. Okay, I think I can do this in 2.5. So here's why we're having a pledge drive. It funds us through the summer months, you see, and this summer is not going to be good because money's going to the super people, and it dries up the amount of money that can come here. And I want to tell you that, but you don't want to give that money to the super PACs. They're both rotten, each side. The commercials here on your local station doesn't pay out our bills. They pay the local station's bill, which it should be. So we're having a pledge drive, and so we can be funded for stay on the air. So, could you send $25 a month, please? And if you do, a 7-minute meditation, but you can get that for free anyway. And the $50 a month is 7-minute exercise, which you get anyway, but the Pearls of Great Price on a CD is absolutely something I like. I didn't like the idea of giving something when you give it back to me. But this is different. I want to give you a sample of what I have done, which I can't do on the radio because I don't have the kind of people calling me up that pull it out of me. It's always some problem with a girlfriend or this or that. I deal with very serious problems with those CDs. So Common Sense Christianity is all about Christianity. It's from a Jewish boy. One minute, Beth. Call 800-500-0922. Thank you. This is our pledge drive. And we'll be doing it tomorrow, if you don't mind. Thank you. Post Office Box, 1000 Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. I'll do that again in just a minute. So whatever you give, please, we are truly grateful. Here's the types of gifts we need: $25 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month, and one gift is 100, 500, 1,000, 500 billion. That'd be good too. Call 800-500-0922. I don't do this. I hardly ever do a program like this. We have to do it once in a while. Forgive me. Thank you. It's Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or go to my website, FHU.com. But the number you call 24 hours a day is 800-500-0922. 800-500-0922. Thank you.